glens where creatures dwelled and terrorized the common man. We've heard the tales of beasts of old, of goblin kings, of monsters and their evil plans. But poor Hob the Troll, he's a very happy soul. Though he's not fond of goats, he's guaranteed to tingle your fun meat on his teeth. Maybe big, but it makes a bigger grin. He lives underneath a bridge, and he's a friend to just about everyone. Hob the Troll, you turn into his hob, yes, it will suit your soul.
It's Hob the Troll here, and it's a very exciting time. It is October, and a chill is in the air if you're in a temperate zone. Not me, I'm back in ye olde Floridia, but it's time for Halloween! It's Halloween, and because it's Halloween, I have a very special guest with me, Mr. Hal Lublin. Hello, Hal.
Hi, Hob. Welcome to my holiday.
Yes, it's all about you and ghosts and goblins.
Yes, mostly the other things, but partially me. You know, I take responsibility for them.
Mm-hmm. It's always my favorite time. I've got my costume picked up. I'm gonna be Magnum PI this year.
Oh, that's gonna be something else. You have the Hawaiian shirt.
I have the Hawaiian shirt. I have the Detroit baseball cap.
Uh-huh.
I'm working on a mustache, and I have some really upsetting white shorts.
Oh, fantastic! Sounds like you've got the full. Now you didn't buy that as a package. You had to get all those pieces separately, right?
The thing is I realized I had all of them individually, and it was just why not?
You know, inside every closet is a Magnum P.I. outfit.
Also, and this was the case last year, also is an outfit from Quantum Leap.
For Al. Of course, you know, why would it be a Sam? It would be an Al.
Well, any outfit, yes. But yeah, you could just really loud shirt, and just like, oh, the white fedora I have.
You know, Al is kind of like the Magnum PI of the future.
It's true. I read an interview with him, and he's like, oh, it just the reason he smoked is just so he could get free cigars.
How many actor stories are there like that where something has deep significance to you as an audience member, but they're like, I just like shirts.
Right. That's right. I think I heard that at a panel. Now, you were just at the New York Comic Con.
Yes, I was. I was there with Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Oh, very good. Now, I think I saw some pictures you at another panel. Did something with Mouse Guard? Is that what I'm...
Yes. Actually, at San Diego Comic Con, and mm-hmm. I was asked by... Mel Kao, who works for Boom Archaea,
mm-hmm.
if he asked me if I would be part of a Mouse Guard panel and do a reading
for
David Peterson. And I had not read Mouse Guard before, so I said, of course I'll do it. And I would love to read Mouse Guard. So they sent me some books. And have you read Mouse Guard? Do you like Mouse Guard?
Yes, I do. And I used to, when I used to live in ye olde Flint, we went to the same comic book store, him and
okay.
I.
Okay.
And it was one of those things of, like, it was when his book was first starting to get published and everyone was real excited about it.
Yeah, they're great books.
So good!
So I got to do it in San Diego, and he was happy with what I did and said, if you're going to be at New York Comic Con, I'd love to have you again. And so I got to do it again, and this time Mark Agliardi, also from the Thrilling Adventure Hour, joined me, which was great.
Who did you read as?
They were both... stories, so they weren't like scripts.
Oh, okay.
Mine was almost all narration. Mm-hmm. And Mark's had a little bit of dialogue in it, but mostly they're from an upcoming anthology that's coming out.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
But yes, do you have a Halloween costume picked out?
You know, I don't. You'd think, because it's Halloween, that I would have a great costume picked out, but I've never been a costume guy.
No?
Even as a kid, like, my mother was way better at costumes than I was. Like, she would come, I remember fifth grade, she came to our class sort of Halloween assembly or whatever it was, mm-hmm. dressed as Hulk Hogan. She had, like, the mask and, like, sweats on. Like, she was way into it, and I didn't inherit that. So, I guess because it's Halloween, I can dress as Hal and get away
with it. That's right. That's a pretty good thing. I saw on Comic-Con, a lot of people are dressing like Steve Carlsberg.
Yes. Yeah, there were a lot of Steve Carlsbergs, a lot of Cecils, of course, from Welcome to Night Vale,
mm-hmm.
A good number of Carloses, and a lot of mm-hmm. Kevins.
Oh, yeah.
Some of whom knew who I was and some of whom didn't. And as you know, when I meet a fan of Night Vale who doesn't know who I am, I like to take a picture with them without telling them who I am and then post it later just to see if they'll find it. Not that they're, you know, and just to, I know I've said this before, just to say it again, I don't expect them to know who I am.
No.
You know, you can't look at somebody's face and go, I've heard your voice on a podcast. Mm-hmm. So, but it's fun. Like, some people do, some people don't. I kind of like it when they don't, and then they can find out later.
Whenever I see somebody at festival wearing a Night Vale shirt, let me tell you, it's quite a few people. I always say, long live Steve Carlsberg, and some people give me a upset look.
Well, you're on the right side of history, first of all.
That's right.
they'll come around. They probably haven't caught
up. They will. But in addition to treats and costumes and all that stuff, it's also a time for spooky stories.
Yes.
Which is what I like. And I thought what we would do as a nice treat for everyone is we would tell scary stories. So I'm going to put on this sound effect here. We're going to pretend like we're in a... it's a campfire.
Oh.
Campfire. Yes. It's like the Midnight Society on Are You Afraid of the Dark?
You know, it's cozy here, and yet I feel like a sense of foreboding as well.
Yes, you're safe, but how safe? You know?
Who can say?
We're pretty safe. It's just a sound effect. But yes, so we're gonna tell scary stories for everybody.
Okay.
Would you like to go first?
You go first. I want to hear you tell a scary story.
All right. Don't be scared. I have a flashlight here. I'm going to put it under my chin.
Okay. Oh.
Because this is an audio podcast.
It's scary. Let me describe what it looks like. Shafts of light, but a lot of shafts of dark as well. Like,
yes.
The part of your face is very scary, and the voice is not helping me be more comfortable. It's making me more scared.
Well, that's my voice. All right. It was almost 100 years ago in London, and there lived a man and his wife with two children. This man's name was George, and he was very important and rational. And his children, however, had shown signs of wickedness.
Really?
Yes, they chased off their caretaker, and they would constantly run away from home. So George decided to hire a new nanny. Well, the children wanted a different kind of nanny, so they wrote a spell as best they could. And when George read this, he was horrified. He tore it up, and he threw it into the fireplace of the home. But the letter had just enough magic to find its way to a witch.
Oh, gosh. A witch?
Yes. A witch. One more powerful and horrible. And instead of a broom, she had an umbrella. And on that umbrella was a parrot's head.
Oh. From a bird
and
she killed,
name,
right?
I assume so. Sure. Her name was too terrible to mention, and she used her magic to charm George and his wife, just enough to be hired, and she went to work. And at work, she introduced these children into a world of unsavory characters. There was a con man named Bert, and her deranged Uncle Albert, and a far-gone witch who used pigeons as familiars. She showed them spells I know!
It's very scary.
From transmutation and conjuration, she gave them potions and taught them the most powerful magic words that were multisyllabic. Very long. Well, when George found out about this, he was horrified. Beyond horrified, his children were becoming almost unrecognizable with their tales of the things they did. Well, he didn't want his children to succumb to the forces of madness, but he had a chance. You see, the witch, she had to take a day off, one day a week to rest and regain her magical powers. So he decided to take the children to the least magical place in the world. He took them to the bank that he worked at, and everyone knows that if there's one place that has a negative effect on magic, it's a bank.
Sure.
And he introduced his children to his boss, who was a very important man with almost all the money in England. And George hoped that his children would be moved to repent against their evil ways, but instead, his son cursed the bank in favor of the old witch and her pigeons, who would just poop on things. And the chaos, there was chaos in the bank. And the children escaped from the father, who chased after them. And he finally caught up with them, and his children were covered in ash. And they had just finished dancing some black magic all on the roof. And his house was in an uproar. His wife had joined in the dancing, and the con man named Bert was inside his very home. Well, this was when Bert revealed that it was all part of the witch's plan all along to give the children these potions to show them the unknown mysteries of the universe. To have him bring the children into the bank so they would undermine the very fabric of the universe that the witch himself had taught him the magic words and the spells that was using a wooden leg. And suddenly the phone rang. It was the bank. They were calling him back, so he fled to the only place that made any sense to him, away from the madness of the witch, the con man in ashes and chalk, his own children turning their backs on sanity. The bank manager called him in and fired him for bringing chaos and panic into a place of order and sanity. They had turned on him. Well, George had lost everything. He'd lost his home, his job, his family, and even his own mind. He forsook everything he had known. He let out the worst curse that he had learned from the horrible witch's wicked arsenal. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, he said. And he summoned a man with a wooden leg whose name eludes me. And then the witch floated away magically, as if on a kite. And she had been, and that's why the entire country of England was insane 100 years ago.
Oh, it's very frightening.
Yes.
And familiar, too.
Is it?
It is a little bit familiar.
A little bit.
Like I feel like I've seen that story before.
Oh?
But not as, you know, it wasn't...
No.
It wasn't as frightening when I saw it.
No.
So,
It's based on an old book I read.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What, but a horror book?
Yes.
You're 100% sure?
I'm really sure, yes.
I feel like... Is that Mary Poppins? Was that the book?
Maybe.
Because that's a children's... It's a very beloved children's film.
Listen, all I'm saying is this.
Okay.
P.L. Travers, mm-hmm. H.P. Lovecraft.
I can't argue with that.
Right,
can't argue with that.
That's... Yes.
And certainly your rendition of the story was terrifying.
Yes!
And yet...
It's accurate!
There's no, Cthulhu or anything. I mean, it's just ultimately a nanny, and she teaches them to be close as a family.
Well, she...
Right?
I guess that's the lesson you could take away from it.
But then you'd be under the thrall of the witch.
Yes. See, this is why you are the voice of Steve Carlsberg. You have seen...
I poked a hole. Yes. I couldn't help it. I was curious. I saw the dotted lines and the circles in your story.
Yes.
And I felt like this seems familiar.
Yes.
But, you know, the story that I have is completely original. I wrote it myself last night.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
And you'll be able to tell that I wrote it. It's going to sound like I'm making it up as I go, but mm-hmm. I wrote it. That's just my presentation style.
I understand.
People are used to that. Are you ready?
Here's the flashlight.
All right, how's that? Is that scary enough?
It's you know what? It's a good lighting.
Oh, maybe I should get like a neck brace where I can hold this here.
Yes!
We all are looking for good lighting all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I found it, finally. I'm never going to let it go.
You got to get one of the... you can take like a coat hanger and put it around your neck and then bend the thing up.
That doesn't sound dangerous at all. I'm going to do it.
No. One of the wire ones, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I will definitely not wind up in the local news if I do that.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. It was a night much like today.
Hold on.
Yes.
Are you going to... I hate to... I don't know if this... If the Bens have access, are you going to use the spooky Hal voice?
Should I be spooky? You know, I felt like I might descend into it.
Okay.
There are moments in the story of pure terror.
All right.
And there are moments, you know, we have to ease into it. But you're right, I should set the tone a bit more.
All right.
I'm going to get up on the mic.
Yes.
And I'm going to use my spooky voice.
Ooh.
Here we go. That's like I'm cracking my knuckles with my throat. Here we go. It was a night, much like any day, some 30 years ago, in a small town in the Valley of Hills in California, where a young man led a peculiar life. He was never on time. One morning, as he stepped into the laboratory of a mad scientist to practice his music of Satan, an explosion revealed to him a terrifying thought. He was late for school! He grabbed his demon board and rode the streets of the Valley of Hills, grasping vehicle after vehicle to make it to his school. But he was too late, and he received another tardy slip from the most rigid of disciplinarians. And he was told, no McFly has ever accounted to anything in the history of Hill Valley. To which he replied, history is about to change. The demon evil professor of science begged the young man to meet him in the parking lot of the mall, where he would reveal his greatest and maddest invention, a time-traveling car!
Oh, no!
A car in defiance of nature and God itself, that traveled through the cosmos of space and time and time-space with no regard for laws or consequence.
Oh.
It turned out this car ran on nuclear power. Nuclear power that can only be had by cheating the Libyans! The evil mad science professor of black magic science had given them a shoddy bomb casing filled with pinball machine parts!
Oh.
And they were seeking revenge. They cut him down with their automatic weapons.
No!
And young McFly knew he only had one hope for escape. The time machine. Little did he know that the calendar had been set for November 22nd, 1955. He grabbed the wheel of the car and pulled the gullwing door down and drove as fast as he could. Fast, escape the Libyans! And then lightning struck, and fire gave way where once there was wheel. And he found himself on Peabody's farm, crashed into a barn. He stepped out wearing his radioactive suit. Mm-hmm. He had to protect himself.
Right,
he's only
right.
Human.
Yeah.
He could have died.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous.
You
have to understand, in the mid-80s, we didn't really understand nuclear power the way we do now.
Did he have a seatbelt?
Of course he had a seatbelt.
Right,
it's very
right.
Dangerous.
Yes.
He went upwards of 80 miles an hour in that thing. It's very
right.
Dangerous. Always wear your seatbelt, children. And so he was fired upon by the farmer Peabody, but he managed to escape! And he sought out the younger version of the mad, evil, crazy scientist! And as he made his way through the town, he realized, this was my home all along.
Oh, no!
30 years ago, this is what stood in this very town square! And in the diner, a young man. It was his father! being bullied by the same man who would bully him 30 years in the future.
Oh, jeez.
And so this young man found it within himself to discover the younger professor and convince him that all of this was true. Everyone thought he was mad! Who could travel through time? No one! Not even with a cool, fancy aluminum car! Stainless steel, my mistake. And so, he realized he needed to make sure his father and mother kissed for the very first time, because he had set in motion a series of events that would erase his family from existence!
Oh no!
And sure enough, the picture of his family that served as a ticking clock for for this story I'm making up right now.
Yes.
The picture that served as a ticking clock for this story showed his older brother and older sister disappearing.
Oh no!
And just as it's, yes, yes! It's very dangerous. It's very, like a pebble in a pond.
It's a good thing he had that on him.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Carrying around pictures of his family.
Like every teenager, he carried a picture of his family with him.
Well, now it's on the phones. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. It's fine. You haven't thrown me off. It's good. So they wound up at a most frightening and eerie school dance.
Oh!
Filled with enchantment from undersea witches.
Oh, no!
Yes. Oh, yes!
Dances are pretty scary anyway.
It's very... What?
I was always very scared at high school dances.
Yes, they're very frightening.
Oh.
Not just for witchcraft, but because it's an awkward time in a young person's life! Lightning, thunder, lightning, thunder. And so, on the night of a terrible storm, the young McFly forced his parents to kiss one another so he could play the guitar! A deal with the devil had been struck, and he returned home only to discover there was something wrong with his children! The end.
That's like was that Twilight Zone the movie?
Huh?
Was that Twilight Zone the movie?
You know, borrowed heavily. I'd say it influenced me.
All right.
But it's a completely original story. I mean, I just made it up.
I believe it. No. Because of the twist. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of, a good story just is like a pretzel. A lot of twists.
Yes.
The more twists, the better.
Right. Just like pretzels.
Yeah, like a good pretzel braid. Have you ever had one of those?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you probably have better pretzels than I get. I get the big, soft ones.
Yeah, they're pretty great. You should probably stop by Philadelphia and get some pretzels.
Oh, is Philadelphia also famous for their pretzels?
Oh, yes, the soft pretzel, the figure eight pretzel.
Oh, that's where they come from?
Yes.
Oh, I see. I thought that was a Bavarian invention.
Well, look. The Americans have stolen so much from so many different cultures.
That's
Who
true.
Knows where it started?
That's true.
But it was born in Philadelphia.
I understand. I believe it.
That's right. It's in the Constitution.
Very good. Very good. We're gonna take a quick break here, and we're gonna be right back. Hey, everybody. It's me, the troll you've been listening to for a couple of minutes now. We're here with Mr. Mark Evan Jackson real quick, who's going to tell us about the Detroit Creativity Project.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. The Detroit Creativity Project is a 501c3 nonprofit that some of us started, my wife Beth Hagenlocker and I, along with Keegan-Michael Key from Key & Peele on Comedy Central, and Mary Beth Monroe from Workaholics, Larry Joe Campbell from According to Jim. A bunch of us who got our start in Detroit have started a nonprofit to offer arts education in the Detroit public schools. And we've begun with our flagship program, the Improv Project, to teach middle and high school students in the Detroit public schools how to improvise, how to, start playing again and how to make things up and have fun. And it's a really wonderful life skill that translates, into better grades and better attention and just a better life skill. It makes you a more interesting, more interested person.
I've seen it. It's great. Now, what can I do to help out?
Well, a couple of things. We've got a big event coming up that Keegan-Michael Key is hosting. It happens in Los Angeles, although it is called the Detroit Party. It happens in Los Angeles. It's on Saturday, November 1st at Largo at the Coronet, a famous old theater in Los Angeles. And it is it's a fundraiser, a variety show that is a benefit. It's being put on by a group called Laugh on Behalf, and it benefits the Detroit Creativity Project. And it's at 8 p.m., and tickets can be found either at largo-la.com, or you can find the link at dcpimprov.org or detroitcreativityproject.org.
And if I just wanted to donate to the project, I could go to those websites as well?
You certainly could, yes, and every dollar really does count. We are a small organization, and so much of what we do, so many of the dollars that we raise go straight into the classrooms, straight to the students, you know, to get teachers in there to share with them this wonderful creative art skill. And so, yes, dcpimprov.org or detroitcreativityproject.org.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Mr. Mark Evan Jackson.
Thank you, Hob.
You've heard me talk about ClassicShaving.com before, and now it's even better. Sign up for the email newsletter and receive 15% off your next order. This is a great deal, especially for those of you who are new to this great site. Now, people all over are going back to shaving in the classic way, because why? Because it's better for the environment. Right? Alright, take a minute. Well, second. Probably won't take that long. Just imagine in your mind. Just think about all those disposable razors that you've thrown away in your life. Yes, just think of them in a big pile. Now, add to that all those cans of empty aerosol cans that are used for creams and gel. See that? That's a big pile. Well, those days of waste are over. With ClassicShaving.com, you can get top-quality safety razors, straight razors, shaving creams, and brushes, all made in the USA. You'll be helping the environment, helping your pocket, and helping your face. Your face will thank you, and so do I. So will I. There'll be thanking going on. So please go to ClassicShaving.com and check it out, sign up for the newsletter, and start down the road for a better world. That's right, a better world. And we're back. Folks. So Halloween is in full swing, and yes. Yeah, those were some scary stories.
Scary and original.
Yes. And so are you doing anything special for the Thrilling Adventure Hour this Halloween?
You know, we've traditionally had a Halloween special, but this year we do not have one. The next night is the Detroit Creativity Project. They're doing a fundraiser with Mr. Mark Evan Jackson, who I know you've spoken with before.
Yes.
And then the week after that is our show. Excuse me. So there's no Halloween plan this time.
Mm-hmm. No, but that's...
Or they're not telling me. Either one. Who knows?
Listen, they're pretty nice to you on the social media. Well, yes. Spelling your name correctly, yeah. and not anything like of that. Hey, I just saw this. I think it was today. You and Mr. Mark Gagliardi and Miss Annie Savage did the what was that show? Leverage.
Somebody
is that a thing?
Somebody a fan made a thing like, what if the three of us were the team on Leverage? Or we're part of the team on Leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who created Leverage is a guy named John Rogers. He actually favorited it on Twitter. So I'm glad he approved. He's a really nice guy. I've met him before. He's done some stuff with Ben and Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that's – I mean, it's sort of like we were on Leverage. So we might as well. If you have any Leverage-related questions, I can answer them.
What about this? Using you three again – how about we reboot Burn Notice?
Oh, I like that. Can I be the Bruce Campbell character?
Of course you can be.
Sure.
How's Annie's Irish accent?
I'll bet you it's great. I haven't heard her have to use it that much, but she's like a sponge. She soaks stuff
up
easy.
She had a baby.
She did. She's a sponge and also a baby maker.
Yes.
So she absorbs, and also she absorbs information and then makes humans out of it.
That's a superpower.
It is a superpower. You know, people don't talk about it very much. I'm surprised it wasn't in the news.
Right. But well, yes, it was on my news feed. That's so nice. That's so nice. And yeah. And you've also have the Thrilling Adventure Hour comic book.
Yes. Yes, it starts monthly in February. It's going to be Sparks Nevada and Beyond Belief every month. And then they released issue zeros of each one.
Mm-hmm.
And those are origin stories. So it's when Sparks Nevada first met Croach the Tracker and when mm-hmm. Frank Doyle met Sadie Parker. And they're really, really good. I don't know if you've had a chance to read them, but I think they're like either like $2 or 99 cents a piece.
Something like that.
Some like really good price.
And well, the Beyond Belief one is drawn by Phil Hester, I think.
Yes, yes, it is.
Yeah, he used to draw the Green Arrow. He did a very good run of that.
Nice.
Back in the day, what have you been reading comic wise?
What have you know? I've been really far behind. So in the last year or two, I've really started to catch up on a lot of like the A versus X and a little bit of the Civil War stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Uncanny Avengers. And then I visited Marvel. I got to visit the Marvel offices when I was in New York in June. And they gave me a stack of comics I'm still working my way through. So it's interesting to see how many different titles there are around. Like how many different mm-hmm. X-Men titles. How many different Avengers titles. Each of them different. And it's sort of a good time to be a comic book fan, I think. Because you can pick which version you like the most and mm-hmm. just read that.
And the Bens are riding, they also, Thunderbolts.
Yes, they just wrapped up a run on Thunderbolts. I don't think all the issues are out yet. And then they're going to be writing Flash Gordon.
Oh! When's that coming out?
I don't know when that comes out. I think pretty soon.
I've been reading Starlight.
Okay.
Which is real good. It's Mark Miller. And it's okay. Space stuff.
Mark Miller did a lot of Daredevil stuff, right?
That's Frank Miller. Frank Miller did a lot of the he did Daredevil, he did Sin City and stuff. Mark Miller did, he's a Scottish fellow.
Okay.
And, yeah, he did Kick-Ass.
Oh, yes, that's, alright.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, and then I've been going through old Grant Morrison stuff because mm-hmm. I heard him on a podcast and I like him, and he because he's insane. but in a way, it's like well, he just comes up with good stuff. Where it's like, oh, I wouldn't have never even thought about addressing it like that, and he does magic.
Yes,
he's actually an actual wizard.
Oh, he's an actual... Oh, I thought you were just saying he... But he's an actual wizard.
Oh, yes. He talks about it.
Just openly.
It's, Oh, yeah.
I guess we're... Yeah. Are we beyond the age where we're putting them in stocks and throwing fruit and vegetables at them and then tying rocks to them and stuff?
Well, most people are just afraid of him because he's Scottish.
Oh, okay.
And he's bald and intimidating.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch
you
that.
You know?
Yeah.
So they're like, well, you whatever you say, so I'm... I'll believe it. But yeah, I've been reading been going through The Goon.
Okay.
The Goon is very good. Eric Powell.
Mhm.
And I was reading some BPRD and Hellboy stuff and then it got too scary.
But it's Halloween. You have to read the scary stuff, right?
I know, but it's Halloween now, so I'll go back through.
Okay.
But at the time it was too scary.
Yeah.
A lot of monsters.
It's hard. You probably read and, when you're ready to go to sleep. You probably read some then.
I do, and then I have scary dreams sometimes.
Yeah, that's what happens.
But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it, and Halloween is the best time to be scared.
It is.
And to enjoy that kind of stuff. Do you have any Halloween movies that you like to watch?
You know. I don't watch a ton of them, but I really like Psycho. I don't know if Psycho even counts as a horror film. I think it's more of a thriller, a suspense movie.
A psychological thriller,
it's a psychological
yes.
thriller, but that's a fantastic movie. My favorite horror movie of all time is my favorite because I think it is the one movie more than any other that lives up to the promise of its title, which is Freddy versus Jason.
Right.
no matter which one you're a fan of, friend of Thrilling Adventure Hour and friend of mine, Jason Ritter, is in that film. But it's really like if you go to see that movie, you're going because you want to watch Freddy fight Jason, and it happens pretty early in the film, and then it just go like you think you're being conditioned for like the Alien versus Predator film adaptation where they fight for 30 seconds at the end, but this is like a decent bout between the two of them where you get to see what happens when Jason's in the dream world and has to fight Freddy. What happens when Freddy's brought into the physical world and has to fight Jason at Camp Crystal Lake? So it's really... have you seen it?
It's rated R. I'm not allowed.
Oh, you know what? When you're a little older...
All right.
You should put it on your list.
I know some older boys who will rent it for me.
There you go. There you go. You just see him outside of the 7-Eleven.
That's right. See, because there's a bunch of movies that I like that aren't necessarily horror movies that I just associate with Halloween. Like The Ghost in Mr. Chicken. It's a good one.
Sure.
Or, you know, there's the Peanuts Halloween special. Mm-hmm.
It's The Great Pumpkin, and Charlie Brown.
That's right. And also, like, you know, it's also about to say, this is also the time of year I watch Willow.
Interesting. It is kind of an autumn-y film, isn't it?
Yes.
It makes you think of autumn or the early, like, it has that feel of, like, November or early December.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you can... Right! And it's just, it's you could smell, and there's usually somebody burning leaves sometimes, maybe.
Sure.
And it brings the whole thing into it. Yes. It's, I like movies like that, and I hadn't seen it in a while. And I'm, every year I always forget, oh yeah, Kevin Pollak's in this.
Yes. Yes, he is. It's one of the brown, it's him and Rick Overton are the two brownies.
That's who the other guy is?
Yeah.
Oh. And then yeah, he was, Warwick Davis was like 16. When he did that.
Yeah, he was fresh, he was what, 4 years off of, 4 or 5 years off of Return of the Jedi?
That's right. Well, he was an Ewok.
Yes, he was Wicket. He was the Ewok, the one we all knew.
Yes.
Can you name more than one Ewok?
Probably. I could probably name one and it would just apply. Shim Sham.
Made up.
Truck.
No, that's awesome. But that's not, I mean, that's just a thing.
Well, it's spelled differently. It's spelled the thing.
It's spelled with an H after the U.
T R O U G H T K. It's English.
I don't remember that one, but maybe so.
He was the one who was holding up the back of the thing that C-3PO was on.
Oh, he was one of the throne bearers?
Along with Gorp.
Oh, sure.
And Frib.
Uh-huh.
And Christy.
Sure.
She was adopted.
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah.
Sore spot. It's a sore
That's
spot
right.
for Christy.
She likes, you know, she's fine. She's fine with it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, people just say her name condescendingly when you're an Ewok and it really stands out. Just Christy.
That's the one word they speak in flawless.
That's
English,
right.
Or common language, or whatever they call it.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
So the Thrilling Adventure Hour is part of Nerdist Industries, yes?
Yes.
When are you guys going to be on at midnight?
Well, I think Paul has been on 300 times so far.
Yes,
in one season.
I know, but I'd like to see all of you there.
I would love that too. I don't know. I mean, Paul's been on, Busy has been on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. Maybe sometime soon. I
Should we start a campaign?
What's
we'll
that?
Get a campaign. We'll get a campaign going to get you on.
You know, I think they know. My guess is that the Bens will find a way. They always do.
If we can, if mankind can find a way to Photoshop you riding a dragon, then I am sure that there's a way to get you on at midnight.
You know, Is there really anywhere to go after you've ridden a dragon, though? Even in Photoshop? Would
Yeah, because it's literally a never-ending story.
That's true. Yeah,
literally.
I think somebody put me on Falcor. I hope they
that's
did.
That's right. They did. It was my idea.
That was your idea, Falcor?
It was my idea. My friend Marion is going to be Atreyu, and her dog Jerry is going to be Falcor for Halloween.
That's adorable. What kind of dog?
Oh, he's one of those little white ones that look, that are like, Bichon, is that the thing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yes. I think that, yes.
I like it's, when it's... when people take a pug and dress it up as a bantha. Have you seen that outfit?
Yes.
You can put on a pug.
It's really hard to hide their numbers, though.
It is. They rarely travel single file. They're like, oh, these stormtroopers have been riding all over the place. This is definitely not the work of sand people, for sure.
No. But this has been a great Halloween.
It has. This is a banner Halloween. Maybe the best one yet.
Oh, good. See, and this is the third time you've been on the show.
Yes.
So I'm catching up with Ken Plume.
Yes. It's just a race to have me on your podcast the most times.
That's right. I'm trying to get him on the show.
Oh, yes.
I think he's weary.
I think he's more of a host than a guest. I think that's probably his hesitation.
Well, then he could have me on his show. I don't care. That'll work fine.
That's the ultimate
Introduce me to a whole new audience.
This is bigger than the Night Vale Thrilly Adventure Hour crossover would be.
That's right. Listen, I have a Tom Servo here. I've got a lot of stuff. He's got a bunch of stuff all over his desk. My desk is pretty messy.
I have
messy.
No idea how he gets around his house. I tell him that all the time.
I'm calling you out, Ken Plume.
Wow. That's the gauntlet being thrown, Ken. The gauntlet has been thrown.
Please? I'm saying it nicely because I don't want him to just see troll and not.
The gauntlet's been made of velvet, though. It's a very nice gauntlet.
Oh! It's a gift. The velvet gauntlet. That's a club. The velvet gauntlet.
Yeah, I tried to get into the velvet gauntlet last night, but I waited outside for like an hour and a half. I couldn't get in.
Ironically, the rope is just an extension
rocks.
Cord.
Yeah,
rocks?
Just a bunch of rocks strung together. It's a weird club. I don't know why I want to get in there.
We'd let you in, but this is a really heavy rope.
Yeah. Nobody's been in this club for 40 years. Even know how we keep it up.
Oh, this is the last thing I will close with. This is a bonus story. I'm going to turn back on the campfire. It was about 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And there was a club, and it was very violent.
Oh.
And so they called in a fellow who didn't like to wear shirts. And they're like, you need to clean up this club. And he said, I'll do it. And he left his other club. And he drove. And there was a guy playing the guitar incorrectly, but it sounded really good. And they were throwing chicken. They were throwing beer at the chicken wire. And and there was a big fight. And the guy stopped it. He stopped it. And they said, well, what happens if somebody calls you a bad name? He's like, are you a bad name? Well, no. Well, then you be nice. Until it's time not to be nice. And then I didn't see this whole movie. I was talking about Roadhouse.
You're talking about Roadhouse, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't he tear somebody's throat out?
He does! That's what he's afraid of. He's afraid of his own strength. Which is why he told that girl not to get too close to him. Because she is a nurse.
Kelly Lynch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The beautiful Kelly Lynch.
And then Sam Elliott died on the ball.
It's another night in the Roadhouse.
He does that twice.
He tells out somebody's throat twice?
No, he died. No, Sam Elliott died on the bar twice that I know of. That and Tombstone.
Oh, that's right. Well, he's on a pool table in Tombstone.
No, that was his. Oh, yeah, he got. Never mind.
Because they're playing.
That's right. That was yeah. Bill Paxton Pullman.
Bill Paxton dies, and then
Bill Paxton.
Sam Elliott loses the use of his arm.
That's
and his
right.
Wife cried. He goes. No, don't cry, Ellie. I still got one good arm to hold you with.
That's right. That's right. And then Peter Rooker has hair in that movie.
Yes.
That's the last time that he appeared with hair in a show.
Michael Rooker disappeared. But sometimes on a windy night, you can still hear it rustling on his head.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Hal Lublin.
Thanks for having me. This has been a frightfully good time.
This has been a wonderful... I did. This has been a wonderful Halloween.
It has been.
All right. Well, from me, Hob the Troll, to all of you, happy Halloween. And, Hal, you also want to say goodbye to them?
Yeah, happy Meoween, everybody.
All right. Take care, everybody. Goodbye.
Hob the Troll presents the Hobcast, produced by Steve O'Dockerson and Steve Hager. Our webmaster is April Janowski. Today's episode featured special guest Hal Lublin on Twitter at Hal Lublin. Hob's theme song is by Corey Eno Ruffin. Like Hob on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Hob the Troll, and go to hobthetroll.com for tour dates, merchandise, and click on the donate button to show your appreciation and to keep this podcast going. The Hobcast is on iTunes. Subscribe and leave a review. The Hobcast is also available on the Stitcher app.
That was the best Halloween ever. We had a great time, and hopefully you did too. So, do me a favor, and if you like this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. That would really help me out. Go to the website, there's some stuff there. The Facebook page. Mr. Lublin also has a Facebook page that you should go and like, so you can keep up to date with him and the funny things he does. It's just the official Hal Lublin like page on Facebook. Also on Facebook, you can find the Detroit Creativity Project and find out more information about that wonderful organization. And thanks again to Mr. Mark Evan Jackson for coming on very briefly and recording that little spot. That was very nice of him. And if you're in the L.A. area, please do check out that show. It's a great cause. I really like the Detroit Creativity Project. Well, hopefully you enjoyed the scary stories and the little bit of banter. And if you did, please do so kind as to leave a review on iTunes. I would really appreciate that. So have a happy and safe Halloween, everybody. And if you happen to dress up like me or any of his Hell's characters or whatever, post them on my Facebook. That'd be great. Bye.